Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We're going to be joined today by a very interesting guest, Mehdi Amini of the United Republicans of Iran for a Democratic and Secular Republic. You can find that website in English at iranrepublic.org. That's iranrepublic.org. And this morning we want to talk about Iran for a couple of hours, and the specifics of what the United Republicans of Iran happens to believe about Iran and what the future course of that country should be and what the foreign policy of the U.S. should be as it relates to Iran. Mr. Amini, are you on the line? Okay, very good. Well, he'll join us shortly this morning, and you can find his website again at iranrepublic.org. And the name of that organization is United Republicans of Iran for a Democratic and Secular Republic. Until we make our hookup with Mehdi, I'll go back again to this thing that we were talking about before the break in regard to Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar, the Persian political scientist and analyst who now hails from Norway. He's got a very significant piece that came out 2 days ago on AlJazeera.info entitled, "Is it time for war or peace in the Middle East?" And as we go through that article, I think it's particularly important to read it side by side with what has been said by Bob Fisk today in the British Independent, as well as what the Wall Street Journal had to say yesterday in a front page story on this whole subject of Lebanon, that in tandem with the Bakhtiar piece for AlJazeera.info suggests a complete divergence of opinion on Lebanon and who has been behind those events. And again, Dr. Bakhtiar takes great pains to take us back to a period of time a little bit more than 10 years ago when the Israeli neocons who were trying to formulate a roadmap of policy for the Middle East came up with this academic paper entitled "A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm." This particular article has been seized upon by the American populist right and left as evidence of the Israeli lobby's manipulation of all kinds of things in the Middle East. And clearly, as we read through that paper, it is a particularly ominous document when you compare it to what has happened in the decades since it was written and researched and distributed to American policymakers who seem to have doing Israel's bidding at the very top of their personal agendas. That paper had 6 pages of recommendations for Benjamin Netanyahu, and Dr. Bakhtiar today outlines some of the more relevant suggestions for Netanyahu that are contained in this piece entitled "A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm." The first is this, quoting directly from "A Clean Break." "We have for 4 years pursued peace based on a new Middle East. We in Israel cannot play innocence abroad in a world that is not innocent. Peace depends on the character and behavior of our foes. We live in a dangerous neighborhood with fragile states and bitter rivalries. Displaying moral ambivalence between the effort to build a Jewish state and the desire to annihilate it by trading land for peace will not secure peace now," quote unquote. I'm sure that's a jab at the Peace Now organization in Israel. Continuing then with "A Clean Break," "Our claim to the land, to which we have clung for hope for 2,000 years, is legitimate and noble. It is not within our own power, no matter how much we concede, to make peace unilaterally. Only the unconditional acceptance by Arabs of our rights, especially in their territorial dimension, peace for peace, quote-unquote, is a solid basis for the future." That's from "A Clean Break, A Strategy for Securing the Realm," 1996 advice to Netanyahu and the Jewish lobby. This is Mark Dankoff on RBN. We'll be back. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heat up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Sit back, relax, and enjoy a vacation to the beautiful Ozark Mountains. Howard Creek Resort is nestled conveniently between the cities of Bull Shoals and Mountain Home on Bull Shoals Lake in the natural state of Arkansas. Howard Creek Resort offers easy access to excellent fishing and water recreation of all types. The excitement of nearby Branson music shows and Silver Dollar City is accented perfectly by the many attractions located here in the heart of the Ozarks. Horseback riding, water skiing, scuba diving, hiking, caves, and rock climbing are just a few of the many activities that are available to do in our area. Howard Creek Resorts offers it all. Whether you're staying for the weekend or for a month, Howard Creek Resorts is the place to be, an excellent place to stay, and a valued traditional family vacation resort. Visit our website at www.howardcreek.com or call 1-877-253-7690. Come visit us for a lifetime of memories.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news stories today, and I also wanted to mention something that we talked about in the first hour of the show, and that is that on Friday, Gary Brummett, who is a survivor of the USS Liberty and a survivor of the attack that was perpetrated on the Liberty in 1967 by Israeli forces, he will be on the show on Friday to give us his eyewitness account of what actually happened that day 40 years ago this June and why, in his opinion, a lot of information about that attack was excised from both the American media as well as American governmental reports at that juncture. It's going to be interesting to deal not only with the accounts of what happened that day from a military perspective and all of the tragedy that was brought into the lives of anyone connected with the USS Liberty at that time, but what the larger implications are of that incident for our present foreign policy in the region, and what many argue, I think, effectively, is the disproportionate influence of things Israeli in the American domestic and foreign policy scene. And this brings us back again to Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar's piece in AlJazeera.info from 2 days ago entitled, "Is it time for war or peace in the Middle East?" when Dr. Bakhtiar was on this show a week ago Monday, we talked about all kinds of things related to Iran. And, of course, to some extent, we touched upon this whole business of Israel and the neocons. And it's quite obvious from reading what Dr. Bakhtiar has to say in his most recent effort for AlJazeera.info that this whole issue of what was said to Benjamin Netanyahu in 1996 on behalf of this organization entitled the Institute for Advanced Strategic and Political Studies, that organization was a part of a study group on a new Israeli strategy toward 2000. That group included Richard Perle, James Colbert, Charles Fairbanks, Douglas Feith, Robert Loewenberg, David Wormser, and Mayrav Wormser, and it created Israel's strategy in a piece entitled A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm. There were six pages of recommendations from Netanyahu that came out of that article, came out of that committee, and Dr. Bakhtiar at AlJazeera.info mentions what some of the more relevant suggestions were. I read the first one or two of these, and I think what is most important is that this document jettisons a land for peace concept. It jettisons Oslo, which Israel agreed to. Fascinatingly enough, at that time, the Oslo Accords basically afforded to the Palestinians only 22% of the land that was originally partitioned between Israel and the Palestinians by the UN. The original agreement by the UN, which the UN put forward, was something like a 51 to 49% break, which would have given the Palestinians a 49% share of that sliver of land. They're now willing to settle for only 22% of that property, which is a major, major, major concession on the part of the Palestinians. And yet, lo and behold, as one reads through this so-called clean break, a strategy for securing the realm, a new strategy for securing the realm, it becomes abundantly clear that Richard Perle and Douglas Feith and David Wormser and all of the other people connected with this project in 1996 have fundamentally concealed that fact from a much wider global audience. They are attempting, of course, to paint the Palestinians as the aggressors, to paint them as the terrorists, to paint them as the intransigents in this situation. When it's very, very clear that a fair reading of this whole circumstance would point, in my view, in a different direction. But suffice it to say that in the very first point that Dr. Bakhtiar pulls out of this document, he highlights the most important aspects of it by bolding the text in his piece at AlJazeera.info today. And this, quite clearly, when you read through the bolded type, is an Israeli policy that is not based on land for peace. It is not based on a recognition of what was agreed to at Oslo. There is no mentioning here of the percentage of land that was given to the Palestinians in the original 1947 partition, where they have dropped from 49% of that land to 22% now, in terms of what they're willing to settle for just to get anything. And yet the document speaks only of the importance of the unconditional acceptance by Arabs of our rights, meaning Israel's rights. The document then goes on to say, in another important point that Dr. Bakhtiar emphasizes this morning, that Syria challenges Israel on Lebanese soil. An effective approach, and one with which Americans can sympathize, would be if Israel seized the strategic initiative along its northern borders by engaging Hezbollah, Syria, and Iran as the principal agents of aggression in Lebanon, including the use of striking Syria's drug money and counterfeiting infrastructure in Lebanon, all of which focuses on Qazi Canaan, paralleling Syria's behavior by establishing the precedent that Syrian territory is not immune to attacks emanating from Lebanon by Israeli proxy forces, striking Syrian military targets in Lebanon and should that prove insufficient, striking at selected targets in Syria proper, working closely with Turkey and Jordan to contain, destabilize, and roll back some of its most dangerous threats. This implies a clean break from the slogan, comprehensive peace, quote-unquote, to a traditional concept of strategy based on a balance of power, changing the nature of its relations with the Palestinians, including upholding the right of hot pursuit for self-defense into all Palestinian areas and nurturing alternatives to Arafat's exclusive grip on Palestinian society. Given the nature of the regime in Damascus, it is both natural and moral that Israel abandon the slogan comprehensive peace and move to contain Syria, drawing attention to its weapons of mass destruction program. Get a load of that one, folks. They're talking about Syria having a weapons of mass destruction program and rejecting land for peace deals on the Golan Heights. Israel can shape its strategic environment in cooperation with Turkey and Jordan by weakening, containing, and even rolling back Syria. This effort can focus on removing Saddam Hussein from power in Iraq, that's in bold type, an important Israeli strategic objective in its own right, as a means of foiling Syria's regional ambitions. Jordan has challenged Syria's regional ambitions recently by suggesting the restoration of the Hashemites in Iraq. This has triggered a Jordanian-Syrian rivalry, to which Assad has responded by stepping up efforts to destabilize the Hashemite kingdom, including using infiltrations. Syria recently signaled that it and Iran might prefer a weak but barely surviving Saddam, if only to undermine and humiliate Jordan in its efforts to remove Saddam. Dr. Bakhtiar has that in bold type. And he goes on to say that when neocons and their fellow travelers came to power, having drafted Israel's strategy for the new century, they were more than happy to include it as a part of their new U.S. doctrine. What was that doctrine? The new U.S. doctrine was about preemption, and keeping U.S. by force, if necessary, as the world's sole superpower forever. Quote, the Bush Doctrine proclaimed the duty of the U.S. to pursue unilateral military action when acceptable multilateral solutions cannot be found, quote unquote. It went further and declared it U.S. policy that, quote, the United States has and intends to keep military strengths beyond challenge, unquote. The U.S. would take whatever actions necessary to continue its status as the world's sole military superpower. This resembles British Empire policy before World War I, namely that the Royal Navy must be larger than the world's next two largest navies put together, unquote. As Dr. Bakhtiar points out, the rest is history. As soon as neocons came to power, Israel scrapped the Oslo Land for Peace Agreement, declaring that it no longer had a peace partner. The U.S. invaded Iraq and occupied the country. Syria was exceedingly isolated and pushed out of Lebanon. The whole world protested U.S. naked aggression against a weak country without any results. It seemed that the hidden and subtle form of neocolonialism that was exercised in the Middle East was about to become an overt and transparent one. By 2003, everything was going according to the neocons' plan. Having occupied and destroyed Iraq, it was time to focus on the next target, Iran. The propaganda machine that was used to convince the people about the righteousness of the Iraq War was now employed to prepare people for invasion of Iran. I have explained this in The Great Deception, the propaganda that we pay for. And Dr. Bakhtiar's article in aljazeera.info, by the way, has a direct link to that article. But things started to go wrong. Iraqi insurgents started to mount an increasingly effective challenge to U.S. occupation. Russia and China began an ever closer military cooperation. Iranians, having seen the U.S. actions in Iraq, kept their military on constant alert and increased their military training and rearmament programs. Syria and Iran, feeling the heat from Israel and the U.S., signed several defense pacts and increased their aid to Hezbollah of Lebanon. We'll continue with Dr. Bakhtiar's analysis of whether or not it's time for war or peace in the Middle East. Mark Dankos America returns from San Antonio live on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately 1 in 4 families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a series of news stories today, some very, very important ones, including something that involves a previous guest that we had on this show, Naila Al-Aryan, whose husband, Dr. Sami Al-Aryan, apparently is quite near death in a federal detention center in the Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina area. You may recall that when we had Naila Al-Aryan on Mark Dankos America, that we were speaking about her husband's legal situation, where he was being prosecuted in Florida in 2005 under the U.S. Patriot Act, and his case was considered to be a test case for the application of the USA Patriot Act in all kinds of situations in the United States. At any rate, Dr. Al-Aryan was not convicted of anything. A court in Florida dropped something like 8 of 17 charges against him. The remaining charges resulted in a hung jury, but historical record, to be fair, needs to underscore the fact that vast majorities on that jury wanted to see those charges dropped as well. But the long and the short of it is that Dr. Sami Al-Aryan this former computer science professor at the University of South Florida, was never convicted of a thing in an American court, yet he has been in detention for the last few years in this country and is now finding himself in a hunger fast situation of 58 days duration that has him very, very close to a catastrophic circumstance health-wise as he continues to sit in this federal detention center in the Raleigh-Durham area. And suffice it to say that aside from the fact that he wasn't convicted of anything, he apparently agreed finally to plead guilty to one thing as a part of a bargain that would enable him to take his family out of this country and to return to Palestine. That plea bargaining arrangement was allegedly subsequently reneged on by the U.S. government, and Dr. Al-Arian finds himself continuing to be in detention. That's one of the stories that we were glancing at an earlier hour this morning, along with a few other ones. Yahoo News indicates that bombings have tripled in Afghanistan in 2006. Gary Camilla has a piece for Salon today entitled, "Can American Jews Unplug the Israel Lobby?" The Daily Star of Lebanon issues a piece on Moscow denying that it gave Tehran a nuclear ultimatum, as that ultimatum had originally been reported at the Iran press service a couple of days ago. The Daily Star of Lebanon now indicates that Moscow denies having given Tehran such an ultimatum. The Washington Post yesterday had a front-page piece entitled "Police Yield to Sunni Insurgents Ultimatum." That basically underscores the fact that the surge policy is not surprisingly continuing to run into trouble in regard to an actual pacification of Iraq. Philip Giraldi has a piece today at antiwar.com, as does Lieutenant Colonel Karen Kwiatkowski. Giraldi's piece is entitled "Picking on Halliburton." Colonel Kwiatkowski's piece is entitled "Our Mad, 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 Mad Vice President Speaks," dealing with Dick Cheney's recent appearance before the American-Israeli Political Action Committee. Gary North at Lou Rockwell has an article on the Federal Reserve Board entitled "The Official Counterfeiter." And then, of course, we've already looked at the Sami Al-Arian hunger fast story that has him apparently quite near death in Raleigh-Durham, North Carolina. That's something to keep our eyes on. And AlJazeera.info has posted today a piece on his situation, as well as the public plea on the part of the Al-Awada Palestine Right to Return Coalition, indicating that something needs to be done about this situation before it's too late. There are a series of officials listed there in that piece at AlJazeera.info that people concerned about this case on a political and a human rights humanitarian basis can write letters and make phone calls on behalf of Dr. Sami Al-Arian. We had also looked this morning a little bit at Robert Fisk's piece for The Independent entitled "U.S. Power Games in the Middle East." And I think I was mentioning in regard to the Fisk piece for The Independent that that makes for interesting reading alongside something that was in the Wall Street Journal yesterday in the front page entitled "How Beirut Police Fingered Syria." Syria in the Hariri assassination. That contradicts that Jay Solomon piece in the Wall Street Journal yesterday, contradicts a whole body of evidence that has been published in the Middle East that suggests that Israel was the driving force behind that assassination, and that its attempt to destabilize the situation in Lebanon was in turn connected to creating a potential pretext for an involvement militarily against Syria and perhaps Iran. So we'll keep an eye on that story in the days ahead. Even as we go back to Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar's piece in AlJazeera.info today entitled, "Is it time for war or peace in the Middle East?" Dr. Bakhtiar once again reminds us that in 1996, there was a paper published entitled "A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm," which paved a roadmap for Jewish and neoconservative interests that now seems to be playing out in regard to what we're doing in Iraq and Lebanon and Afghanistan and potentially Iran. Mark Dankos, America, will be back on RBN live from San Antonio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Learn about the new discoveries of MSP Research. Find out about the success MDs, dentists, veterinarians, and others are having with Silver 500. Learn secrets to survival, how to detox the liver, gallbladder, and kidneys, and how over 1,100 doctors are treating Lyme disease, hepatitis C, diabetes, respiratory infections, and many more with success thanks to the help of MSP Research and Silver 500. Microbiologists have tested our mild silver protein and found Silver 500 to be the most effective treatment for B. subtilis, a subgroup of anthrax. Choose the products in your medical supply wisely. Our doctor's manual has grown to over 600 pages. Give us a call at 1-334-493-0420. That's 1-334-493-0420. And see why doctors in five countries use a dozen products that are manufactured by Dr. Bill McFarland. One more time, that's 1-334-493-0420. Or visit our website at www.mildsilverprotein.com/home.html.
Attention, this is an RBN Financial News Bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing, but they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Many Bible prophecies written thousands of years ago have been fulfilled in the past 100 years. Unknown by most people, even Bible-reading Christians, major end-time prophecies are being fulfilled today, including the one-world government, the one-world religion, the 10-nation confederacy of Daniel and Revelation, the mark of the beast, or 666. Speculation abounds about these ancient prophecies and what they might mean today. Now, one of the most foremost scholars on geopolitics, Dr. Michael Kaufman, who has stopped the ratification of international treaties in the U.S. Senate, has just released a DVD called World Events and Prophecy. His DVD explains how these and other major prophecies are being fulfilled today. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy. It's only $20 plus shipping and handling at discerningtoday.org or call toll-free 877-271-7639. Don't be caught off guard. Order your copy of World Events and Prophecy at discerningtoday.org.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been covering a series of news stories today, as far as comparative analysis goes, trying to decipher what some of these things mean as they relate to events in Lebanon, Iraq, Afghanistan, and potentially Iran that could see the United States becoming more and more embroiled in this situation. Why are we there? What does it mean? Who is fundamentally behind the decision to go into that part of the world in the way that we have just since 2003? This, of course, you can argue is a part of a much longer policy historically than just what has happened in the last 4 years. But why the acceleration of certain things in the last 4 years as it relates to American military involvement in that part of the world? Are we going to go the way of the former Soviet Union? Are we going to go the way of the old British Empire in regard to floundering in Mesopotamia and in Palestine and maybe in Persia? That's an interesting question that's going to be revisited time and time again in coming days. We could be weeks or even months away from a third world war. No one knows that, of course, but it certainly appears that we are entering an entirely new and dangerous period of time in the Middle East as it relates to our involvement in that part of the world and the fact that certain situations seem to defy solution, including the Israeli-Palestinian crisis. And Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar today, who was on the show a week ago Monday, has a piece at aljazeera.info entitled, Is it Time for War or Peace in the Middle East? That once again reminds us that this position paper, A Clean Break, A New Strategy for Securing the Realm, which was issued to Benjamin Netanyahu as the then Prime Minister of Israel, it contains 6 pages of recommendations, and some of the most key points in those 6 pages are repristinated by Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar in his piece entitled, Is It Time for War or Peace in the Middle East? As we read through this whole situation since March of 2003, Bakhtiar tells us again that things started to go wrong for the U.S. Iraqi insurgents started to mount an increasingly effective challenge to U.S. occupation. Russia and China began an ever closer military cooperation. Iranians, having seen the U.S. actions in Iraq, kept their military on constant alert and increased their military training and rearmament programs. Syria and Iran, feeling the heat from Israel and the U.S., signed several defense pacts and increased their aid to Hezbollah of Lebanon. Russia especially saw itself as a target and therefore increased its military aid to both Syria and Iran. Russia saw the expansion of NATO as a clear sign of U.S. aggression and began to rearm itself. The other player, China, also felt threatened. According to the Bush Doctrine and the preemption philosophy, the U.S. would never allow China to become a true superpower. The easiest way for the U.S. to do this was to control the Chinese access to oil. China therefore backed the only power in the region that was willing to check the U.S. hegemony in the region, Iran. Bakhtiar then goes on to discuss the Arabs. Meanwhile, the Arab states such as Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan were caught between the proverbial rock and the hard place. Although they assisted the U.S. in its invasion of Iraq, they never approved of it. They correctly foresaw the chaos that would follow. Nevertheless, having supported the U.S. invasion, they had no choice but to continue their support, hoping that their support would be rewarded by some movement on the Palestinian issue. The Palestinian cause has been and is an open sore for the Arab and Muslim world, and over time it has become a major source of instability for the governments of the moderate Arab states. So any possibility of a resolution to this conflict is always welcomed by all Muslim states, especially the U.S. allies in the region. Of course, as usual, they had miscalculated. Not only the U.S. was not going to pressure Israel to change its policies, it was going to help Israel weaken the Palestinians even further. The Israeli concept of peace for peace meant a unilateral acceptance by Arabs of the Israeli demands and conditions and nothing else. One must remember that the Israeli strategy document states clearly that, quote, only the unconditional acceptance by Arabs of our rights, especially in their territorial dimension, peace for peace, is a solid basis for the future, quote unquote. When Hamas won the Palestinian elections, then, the EU, the U.S., and Israel boycotted the Palestinian government. Hamas was not going to play according to the Israeli rules, and as such was seen as an enemy. The U.S. had declared Hamas a terrorist organization and was not going to deal with it. So from the very beginning, Hamas government, although democratically elected, was shunned by all. For years, Israel had said that it had no negotiating partner. Even Mahmoud Abbas was not accepted as a suitable partner. But suddenly, U.S. and Israel demanded that Hamas be removed so that Israel could start negotiations with Mahmoud Abbas. No one ever gave Hamas a chance to prove itself as a responsible government. From the very first day, Hamas was boycotted by Israel, the U.S., and the European Union. Once again, the moderate Arab countries were told that if they helped in removing Hamas, Israel would be willing to negotiate. So these countries, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, obliged. They joined Israel and the U.S. to remove Hamas from power. They started financially strangling the Palestinian population to force them to change their mind about Hamas, while at the same time helping Fatah to rearm and prepare it to seize power by force. Dr. Bakhtiar explains this in detail in two articles, Palestine, Civil War or Coup d'Etat, and the coup attempt that started a war. He then continues that this, of course, did not succeed. Palestinian people, despite tremendous suffering, refused to bow to the pressure and stuck by their elected government. Israel realized that it needed to militarily go into Gaza and unseat Hamas by force. It started a campaign of terror to goad Hamas into giving Israel an excuse for an invasion in support of a coup by Fatah. Israel started shelling villages, arresting and kidnapping civilians, assassinating Hamas members, and so forth. Hamas finally obliged by kidnapping an Israeli soldier. As soon as Israel started its incursion into Gaza, Hezbollah stepped in to help Hamas. Hamas kidnapped two Israeli soldiers in order to exchange them for prisoners, some of which were assumed to be Hamas members in Israeli jails. Israel, which had already plans for invading Lebanon, saw this as an opportunity that it could not miss. According to the recent reports, Israel had planned to invade Lebanon 3 months before the kidnapping of the Israeli soldiers. Quote, Ehud Olmert's decision to go to war in response to abductions of soldiers was taken as early as March 2006, according to a leak of his evidence to the commission investigating the war. The report, which Israeli officials said was broadly in line with what the prime minister has already told the cabinet, means that the military strategy was decided more than 3 months before it was triggered by Hezbollah's abductions of two soldiers on the northern border in July, unquote. So Israel invaded Lebanon with the aim of destroying Hezbollah. It assumed that once this was accomplished, it could finish off Hamas. But this also failed. Not only did Israel not manage to destroy Hezbollah, it made Hezbollah one of the most popular resistance groups in the Muslim world. It also shamed Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, three Arab countries that were supporting Israel in its wars against fellow Arabs in both Palestine and Lebanon. Arabs in every country poured into the streets in support of Hezbollah and Hamas. There were large demonstrations in nearly all Muslim countries, including Jordan and Egypt. In Egypt, the popular and respected Muslim Brotherhood announced that it had 10,000 volunteers ready to go to Lebanon. Quote, Muhammad Mahdi Akif, the general guide of the outlawed Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, has launched a violent attack on Arab leaders, saying, quote, had they not made the declaration of the faith, we would have fought them because they are more oppressive to us than the Zionists and the Americans, unquote. Akif reignited the argument that has not stopped since his announcement that there were 10,000 Muslim Brotherhood members ready to go to Lebanon to fight there with Hezbollah. Speaking at a mass rally attended by around 2,000 Muslim Brotherhood members at the Egyptian Lawyers Association headquarters in central Cairo the night before yesterday to mark the night of Prophet Muhammad's ascension to the seven heavens, quote, the latest war in Lebanon exposed the falsity of the lies of the impossibility of confronting Israel and war with it, unquote. He added, quote, the resistance negated all these false claims forever, unquote. Bakhtiar continues, the Arabs have sat helplessly and witnessed the invasion of Iraq, the constant suffering and humiliation of the Palestinians, the death and destruction in Lebanon, while their leaders not only have not done anything to stop this, but also have at times approved of the actions. These events have only increased the anger of these people. The Arab people's frustration has reached to such a level that it is now threatening the survival of these regimes. The popularity of Hezbollah and Iran as an Islamic bulwark against the U.S. and Israel is creating a situation where various groups are starting to exert pressure on their governments to follow suit and at the very least sever their ties to the West. To redirect the pressure, both U.S. and moderate Arab governments have tried to portray Iran as a Shiite country bent on dominating the Sunni states. In other words, they have tried to redirect the people's attention from Israel and the U.S. to Iran as the main threat. This has not worked, simply because people know the sectarian division may lead to civil wars in many countries, especially Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, Yemen, the United Arab Emirates, Pakistan, and Lebanon. Now the leader of the so-called moderate Arab countries, Saudi Arabia, is trying to arrest the march toward chaos in the Middle East by trying once again to persuade the U.S. to pressure Israel into accepting its peace plan. This plan is not a new one and is basically the same old land for peace agreement that Israel had rejected before. But this time, the Saudis think that they have a stronger hand to play. The invasion of Iraq by the U.S. and the unsuccessful invasion of Lebanon by Israel has changed the Middle East. The old players are dealt a new hand, and everyone is trying to bluff as best it can. However, by now, all the cards are laid face up on the table. It is now the time for action, win or lose. The players are the U.S., Iran, Israel, Saudi Arabia, Russia, and China. The U.S. cards are the following. It's Armada in the Persian Gulf, 140,000 troops in Iraq, its forces in Afghanistan, and its enormous economic muscle. The U.S. has repeatedly threatened to attack Iran if Iran does not suspend its uranium enrichment activities. However, the halt to uranium enrichment is just a first step in a long list of demands by the U.S. Stopping uranium enrichment is just the start. Once Iranians agree to this, others will follow, such as the demand for a halt to all nuclear research and development, long-range missiles development, space activities, support for Hezbollah, and then considerable concessions in Iraq. In other words, if Iran succumbs to the pressure, they are not sure where it will end. Iraq is a good example of this. The UN was allowed to inspect even Saddam Hussein's palaces, yet it did not satisfy the U.S. Anyway, as far as the Iranians are concerned, the U.S. has made up its mind in destroying Iran and has already started the war. I have described the U.S. economic warfare against Iran, Dr. Bakhtiar informs us, in an article entitled The Plan for the Economic Strangulation of Iran. The Russian cards include its close military relationship with China, Iran, and Syria. Russia is building Iran's first nuclear power plant at Bushehr. Russia is also present in Syria, having leased a port from Syria for its Mediterranean fleet. Russia also provides Europe with gas and is a major oil producer. It has tried aggressively to use its energy resources for political ends, and the Europeans are keenly aware of the power that Russia is wielding over them. They are not pleased with how things are developing with regard to the new and assertive Russia. Bakhtiar has explained this U.S.-EU relationship with Russia in his article entitled Cold War II. Bakhtiar continues, Iranian cards include its major influence in Iraq, Afghanistan, Lebanon, and Syria, as well as its minor influences in Pakistan, Bahrain, Yemen, and the United Arab Emirates. In addition, they have been preparing themselves for a possible military confrontation with the U.S. for quite some time and are fully mobilized for a long and bloody conflict. This is explained in detail in Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar's article, The U.S. versus Iran, The Hybrid War. Bakhtiar continues by saying that their main card, however, is the threat of blocking the Strait of Hormuz. Another card is the possibility of attacking the oil tankers in the Persian Gulf or their loading terminals in Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, and elsewhere in the Gulf. The American bases in Bahrain and Qatar, not to mention the 140,000 U.S. troops in Iraq, are also seen as targets should hostilities break out. Iran can also directly attack Israel with its long-range missiles from Iran or shorter-range missiles from Lebanon. It can also leave the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty and follow the North Korean example. Saudi Arabia and the moderate Arab states have very few cards to play with. They can support the U.S. as usual and risk a major upheaval in their region and countries, or they can support Iran and risk the wrath of the U.S. and its support for their governments. They have so far tried unsuccessfully to play the American card without any results. However, now they have finally got an ace to play with, and that is Iran. They can use the Iranian card to force the U.S. to pressure Israel into making the necessary concessions. They can demand that should their latest peace initiative be ignored by Israel, they would support Iran. This seems plausible since after King Abdullah's discussion with Iran's Ahmadinejad, both countries stated that they would try to stop the sectarian rift within the Muslim world, and more importantly, Iran quietly backed the king's proposed peace plan. At the same time, the Lebanese crisis seems to have quieted down, and a Palestinian unity government has been created. All these indicate that Saudis and Iranians are trying to reduce tension and concentrate on getting the Palestinian peace plan started. However, the tension over Iraq remains. Should the Saudi peace plan be rejected, the Arab trio, Saudi Arabia, Egypt, and Jordan, will lose any credibility that they have left in the region and with their own populations. They will then have no choice but to take a very hard stance against the U.S. and Israel or risk losing power. Israel, despite its recent reversals of fortunes in Palestine and Lebanon, still has a very strong hand, namely its supporters in the U.S., AIPAC, and others. To understand the situation, one simply has to look at AIPAC. The U.S. presidential hopefuls, Republicans and Democrats, have to appear before the American-Israeli Political Action Committee and declare their undying loyalty to Israel's security and interest before they can even hope to be nominated by their respective parties. We are looking at Dr. Abbas Bakhtiar's article, Is It Time for War or Peace in the Middle East? That article is posted today at aljazeera.info. Mark Dankos, America, will come back live from the Republic, live from San Antonio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves and More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Your life demands long-lasting power for everything. If you want to find the best battery selection at the best prices, then BatteryStation.com is the place for you. Find common or hard-to-find batteries for practically everything, from computer backup units and camcorders to cell phones and wheelchairs. Go to BatteryStation.com for all your battery supply needs. At BatteryStation.com, you'll also discover high-tech LED tactical flashlights for every task, from trusted names like Surefire, Tektite, Gerber, Pelican, and more. BatteryStation.com offers lights featuring super bright, super tough, long-life LED technology. At BatteryStation.com, you'll find tough, crush-proof, waterproof, airtight, hard cases of all sizes from Pelican, Otter, and S3 Extreme. Visit them today, BatteryStation.com. It's all one word, BatteryStation.com. Or call 417-257-7799. That's 417-257-7799. Your source for batteries and accessories at very low prices. BatteryStation.com.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments. No refinancing and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a bi-weekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We've been looking at a series of news articles today that relate to things that are of importance to us both in the continental United States as well as abroad. And I just wanted to mention again that on Friday, Gary Brummett will be on this show. Gary is an eyewitness to the events that surround the June 1967 attack on the USS Liberty on the part of Israel. And in my conversation with Gary on the telephone yesterday, I really find myself being assured that Friday is going to be a special show. We're going to learn about what happened that day from someone who was there and who saw it. And Gary also informed me that he knows of someone right here in San Antonio who is a survivor of that attack and who was at the time and after that time a very significant and highly placed person in the American government, whose testimony was conveniently excised from the record in regard to what this so-called independent investigatory commission found or didn't find, as the case may be, in regard to the Israeli attack on the USS Liberty. Was it deliberate on the part of Israel? We'll await the results on Friday, but I suspect that we're going to find after Gary Brummett is on this show on Friday, March 23rd, that Israel was very much involved in a deliberate attack on this American vessel, and that this is one of the great tragedies in American political and military history, not simply in that it happened, but that powerful political forces in the United States covered up Israel's role in attacking a vessel of the United States that was in international waters, that had every right to be there, and that the government of Israel, of course, has insisted that this whole episode was an accident. I think after we listen to Gary Brummett on Friday, we're going to be convinced that it wasn't an accident, could not have been an accident, and that the men who have lived in the last 40 years with the tragedy of that day have a very, very important story to tell for the historical record on what happened, again, when Israel attacked the USS Liberty in June of 1967 during the so-called Six-Day War. You can support the Republic Broadcasting Network. You can do that by contacting us at republicbroadcasting.org or giving us a call at 1-800-724-2719. That's republicbroadcasting.org on the World Wide Web, or give us a buzz at the office at 1-800-724-2719. You can have Aaron Russo's new DVD as well by contacting the Republic Broadcasting Network directly through republicbroadcasting.org or 1-800-724-2719. The title of that DVD is America, Freedom to Fascism. You can have it for $19.95 plus $4.95 shipping and handling. I've also been asked to remind you that there is a new website for the Republic Trading Group. If you're interested in investment with the Republic Trading Group, you need to go to republictradinggroup.net. That's republictradinggroup.net. Mark Dankos, America, will return live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network after a commercial break. Stay tuned. You can also give me a call today at 1-800-313-9443. That's 1-800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
Headache?